Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, on this 25th day, I believe, of May 2025. And I want to talk to you this morning, walking in your divine destiny. That's what I want to talk with you about this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. I'll give you more scripture. I just want to establish a text. We thank God for the opportunity. Are you there? But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. And I read to you Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Walking in your divine destiny is actually a lifestyle that can only be perfected in Christ. I like that beginning right there. Can I say that again? Walking in your divine destiny is actually a lifestyle that can only be perfected in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in your mother, not in your daughter, not in your brother, not in your sister, not in your co-worker. Your divine destiny is actually a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that can only be perfected in Christ. It has to be something working in you, yes, to do good on the inside. And we can use a reference for that in Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It has to be it has to be on the inside.
It has to be on the inside.
It's something about God working on your insides. You know, we can resist that.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But it seems like it's something about when God get a hold to you,
yeah,
and begin to will you to do good, yeah, and to be of his good pleasure. Yeah. It's something about it that he's willing you to do it.
Yeah.
Right? And you saying, God, I'll do it, God.
Yeah.
It has to be something working in you to do good. That's why it is essential that you get saved. Somebody say, we got to get saved. Romans 10:9 say that if you confess with your mouth, yeah, the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, yeah, you will be saved. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
We got to get saved in order for him to start working. Are you with me now? Because what we're talking about this morning is walking in your divine destiny. See, I found out by reading the Bible that life is nothing but a vapor, but we spend a tremendous amount of time out of purpose.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly or in my mother's womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Lord who formed us knows for what particular services,
yes,
and purposes,
yes,
he intended, yes, for us. But unless he sanctify us by his new creating spirit, we shall neither be fit for his holy service,
wow,
on earth. Out of the womb I sanctify thee. Somebody say divine destiny.
Destiny.
Say it again. Church, say divine destiny.
Divine destiny.
Sanctification is a state of separation unto God.
Yeah.
All believers enter into this state when they are born of God or born again.
Yeah.
Right? How do I know this? Because I read in 1 Corinthians, I believe, let's look at it. I believe it's 1:30. Because I got this chicken scratch up here and it looked like I might have made a 4, but I want to make sure. Let's just go to it and look at it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? And let's look at verse 30. It's 31 chapters, 31 verses in that first book of 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Are you with me? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Look at all that together. That's working in you. You see, when you get born again, right, and things begin to work in you, it says, because but of him are ye in Christ, us in Christ, right? That who of God, who Christ came from God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see that? I don't know if y'all familiar with Dr. Miles Monroe, but I've read some of his books. I've listened to him preach, an awesome man of God. He passed away. But Dr. Miles Monroe commented that the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose.
Amen.
He said that's the greatest tragedy.
Say it again,
a life without purpose.
He said the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose. I said, man, that's a man. I felt that. Somebody say, I felt that. It's easy to get caught up in the world with our own selfish ambitions. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that's in John 3:19, that scripture right there, right? Paul spent a lot of time out of purpose. He was a smart man. He was skillful with his hands. He thought he was really doing his thing, right? But he spent a lot of time out of purpose. But when he was knocked off his beast, y'all remember? And helped to see his way. See, we need a little help, sometimes. But when it was revealed to him and the Spirit started working, you see what I'm talking about? It started working in him to do good. He started walking in his divine destiny. See, Paul spent a lot of time. He spent a lot of time out of purpose. He spent a lot of time out of purpose. And we know that, right? So, but until he found out. Somebody say he found out. Y'all like saying that, don't you?
He found out.
Mess around and find out, y'all. Boy, y'all like that kind of stuff right there. But anyway, so Paul, he spent a lot of time out of his own destiny.
My God.
But when he got knocked off that beast, and God started working in him, then he understood, right? So it was revealed to him, and the Spirit started working in him to do good, and he started walking in his divine destiny. He didn't let nothing separate him from the love of God.
Once he found out.
Once he found out, all the preacher messages are there. You ought to find out.
You ought to find out.
Write that down, Sister Marsha. You ought to find out. I think I can work with that. Because when you find out, I spent a lot of time out of purpose because I was ripping and running in the streets. Ah, there it is. I was doing the most. I was doing all these kind of things. And I found myself going through some things that I didn't have to go through. But God said, I'm not going to stop you from going through what you're going through because I gave you free will.
That's right.
And since I gave you free will, it's your decision to make whether you're going to stay out of purpose or not. But one day I found out and I started, y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. And I started walking in my divine destiny. Right?
Walk in it.
So getting to your purpose and destiny won't feel good all the time. You're going to go through some valleys and some storms like Moses. Y'all remember Moses in Exodus 3:1-2? Let's look at it.
Exodus 3:1-2.
Y'all notice I sat down, my leg and my hip and stuff started hurting. But it ain't going to stop me, though. Because I'm walking in my divine destiny. We just said we're going to go through some things. We're going to have some aches and pain. We're going to have some battles. Man, we're going to have some times where everything going good. We're going to have some times when things are not going well. And what the devil does, he wants to seclude you. He wants to get you out by yourself with every intentions of killing you. I'm talking about literally. He wants you to feel so down like God has left you. But I read in the Bible that he said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Because I don't care what you're going through, God is still there. So here we go, Exodus. Let's look at what Moses was going through, because we're going to go through those valleys. We're going to go through those things. Exodus chapter 3. Y'all remember? Moses in verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'm just showing you what he was going through. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Man, Moses spent a whole lot of time out of purpose, because here he was on the other side of the mountain taking care of his father Jethro's sheep. He did that for 40 years. He was long time out of purpose until God, he had an encounter with God, huh? And God spoke to him, and he started making excuses. Y'all to read about Moses, because he had a speech impediment and he had a real stuttering problem, and he would start making problems. I can't speak. I ain't got no eloquent to speak. He started making all these kind of, I don't know how to do it. He say, tell them I am sent me, and this, that, and the other. And he said, well, I'm going to put some people around you. And even his father-in-law, Jethro, told him, say, man, you getting ready to lead out a mega church. He said, what you ought to do, you ought to form you some strong brothers of valor to put over different things, over some auxiliaries. That's when they started forming the auxiliaries. Y'all must have seen that in the Bible. He said, I want you to put some brothers of valor over these different auxiliaries. It didn't say auxiliary, but you got to use your logic. He said, man, put them over. You can't do this by yourself. You can never do ministry by yourself. Even with a mother and a father that got children in the home. Here it is right here. See, ministry starts at home. And the father can't do it by himself, and the mother can't do it by himself. So they have to work together in ministry in order to pass it down to their children. Somebody said that's ministry. So here it was that Moses and was on the other side of the mountain. He caught somebody else's purpose. He was caught up in somebody else's purpose, but God revealed himself so he could begin to walk in his divine destiny. Yes. Even his father-in-law helped him along the way, pulled him to the side, and gave him some wisdom. Y'all remember that? Yes. But he spent a lot of time on the other side of the mountain, caught up in somebody else's purpose. And he found himself over there because of some decisions that he had made, and he was running from them being after him. Do you remember when he killed that I forget what they call him, the Egyptian man, and buried him? He said, man, what you talking about, man? You trying to talk? That dude pulled him up. He said, you up there talking all that knock? He knew something. It's something about when God began to work in you that Moses knew something was wrong. Y'all remember Moses? They sent him down the river, and they hired his mother to go. Ain't that something? Because they said they put out a decree to kill all the male seeds. The decree is still valid today, because they're still trying to kill all the men. So we can't be productive. So we can't be in the home. So we can be on drugs. So we can be in prison for 25 and 30 years. The decree is still valid, because the devil is still trying to kill our sons. And they don't want them to be leaders in the home and take their rightful place and walk in their divine destiny. But here it was something working on the inside of Moses. And Moses says, something ain't right about this situation, the way they treating these people. And he had everything. He could have just rode around in his little chariot with his 30s on up, with his with his gold cup, like he Bishop Don Juan and all that, with the big old rings on and all that. That's crazy. But here it was. He said, man, something ain't right about this, the way they treating by way of the taskmaster and how they doing these folks. It's something ain't right about it. But God was working on the inside of them to do good and of his good pleasure. And he messed around and laid hands on somebody. Gave him a two-piece with a butter biscuit. And somebody seen him and pulled him up when he thought he had got away with it. He tried to hide. So what about Jesus? Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. From birth until he began his ministry, God was preparing him to walk in his divine destiny. He didn't have no sin. He didn't have no sin problem. But he still had to learn obedience. Why do I say that? Living in a place, in a little country town, when the people was talking about, ain't that Jesse's son? It was that the carpenter's son. They was talking because he was different. You see what I'm saying? When God began to work in you, things begin to change and things start looking different. And the little people that you used to hang around there, they're not going to be feeling you no more, because you're going to be saying, what thus says the Lord? And let us pray. And I'm going to church. And I'm going to Bible studies. And I'm going to give. And I'm going to go help out in the community. Things start looking different. So people look at you and say, nah, they don't do the things that we used to do. We used to go to the club. We used to turn up and do all that kind of stuff. But things start happening. And things, God start working on the inside of you. Right? So here Jesus was, a little boy with all this wisdom. Y'all remember when they lost him and they were blaming each other? You the one supposed to been watching him. Y'all thought he was with you. And they had to go back, you know, when they had, because it was customary for them to go on this pilgrimage or this journey every year. And when they found him, he was in there breaking them off.
Breaking bread.
And if you read the Bible, you would think that he was being smart with his parents, but he was just letting, he was just getting ready for his, somebody say he was getting ready.
He's getting ready.
To walk in his divine destiny. Yes. So when you think about it, I've always wondered why it took 30 years for Jesus to start his ministry. He was learning obedience.
That's what it said.
He was learning obedience. See, he was obedient even unto death. And at age 12 years old in Luke, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 2.
Wow.
Let's look at it. Luke chapter 2. Verse 41. Go to 41. And we'll read down to 52. I love scripture, because we find out a lot of things when we read it. We're not waiting on nobody to give it to us. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. That was customary. That's what I was just talking about. But we're going to read it, though. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem at the custom of the feast. That's how I knew it was customary. That's how I found that out. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, you know, like we go on those conferences, we go, it might be 3 days. Uh-huh. You know, you might go out of town. It might be a 5-day revival, 3-day revival. They say after it was fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. See, that's why I know that they was like, okay, I thought he was with you. No, I thought you were with you, kinsfolk. I thought you were with the friends, acquaintance, friends. Yeah. I thought they was with you. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and with man. Somebody say he was getting ready to walk in his divine destiny. You see that? So that's how it go. And so often we try to rush our divine destiny. We have to go through the preparation. Sometimes it's not time for you to preach, time for you to lead the song, time for you to be over the ushers, time for you to start your own church. You got to go through the preparation. You have to be prepared, right? Like where I'm at right now. How long you think it took me to get right here? It took me a long time because I was out of purpose. Right? But until I found, somebody say until I found out. And here it is, 21 years later. That's amazing to me.
He is amazing.
That's amazing to me. Right? When they try to kill me in the street.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I give you five things to help you? Y'all didn't say nothing. Can I give you five things to help you? Number one, prayer.
Oh, yeah.
The number one thing. God reveals his heart and plans for us through prayer. If you're not praying, God ain't going to reveal nothing to you. You got to talk and converse with God.
Yes, come on, Pastor.
You got to seek after God's faith. Not seek answers on the phone, but you got to go to the throne. You ask Sister Butterbean, and you know she mean. You know she messy, but you always calling her on the phone asking for advice. That's crazy. That is insane. When you can go straight to God and tell God your situation. He already know. He just wants you to talk to him. Talk to God. You ain't got to be. He said, man, Paul said, man, I don't even come to you with no eloquent to speak. Although he was an educated man, he knew some big words and all that. He knew how to just go to God. Open up your mouth. God, I'm going through a situation right now, God. And I'm reminding him, find some word in there. Say, God, I'm coming to you, and I'm just praying. You told me in your word, God, that I could cast all my curse upon you, for you cared for me, God. Now, this situation, God, I need you right now, God. I need you to intervene in this situation, because you just told me that I could cast all my curse upon you. I'm caring about this right now, God. I'm caring about my son, and I'm caring about my daughter. I'm caring about my finance. I'm caring about my health, God. And I'm just bringing it to you, God. I also read that healing is the children's bread. You told me that in your word, God. I'm just coming to you right now. I got sickness in my body, God. I believe that you are healed. The doctor told me this. But God, you said that it is the children's bread, God. That not only will I prosper in my health, but you said in my wealth. I read that in your word, God. Take him some word. Take him some word instead of sitting around. Walk in your divine destiny. Start speaking the word of God. Start speaking over your life. Start speaking over your home. Start speaking over your situation.
Take him his word.
Number two, meditation. You're able to listen to God speak. When you meditate. He said meditate. I read this in the Bible. He said, meditate on my word day and night. And why? See, this is what's so good about meditation. Once you get the word, something working. Somebody say, something's working in me. Once I get the word on the inside of me, I could just sit there down, open up my mouth, and just begin to meditate on God. Set my affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. I'm not worried about what's going over here right now. God, I just want to go in into your throne room. I just want to thresh some things, God. I want to be able to enter into your throne. God, I just want to meditate and just let the word resonate. And God will start speaking to you in your spirit because that word is coming back to you. You're able to listen to God speak. Psalms 1 and 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Get your meditation life. Not no chanting like the Buddhists. Not no ringing the bells. Just sit there in a quiet place and just meditate on God. Put on you some soft music. Right? Not no R&B. That ain't time for it right then. Put on you some good Christian music. It could be instrumental. And just meditate. And let that word just bubble up in your spirit. Huh? Number three, discipline. We need discipline for everything. And the truth be told, all of us can find ourselves being undisciplined.
Yeah.
True. My brother, Pastor Lawson, he passed away, and we used to get on the prayer line all the time. And I used to watch him and see him, and he was a large man. Mm-hmm. And we all like to eat. I like to eat. I know I could lose 30 pounds, but will I be disciplined enough to put in the work to do it?
Yeah.
We be overweight. That's why we have high blood pressure, diabetes. Our kidneys are failing.
Yeah.
We're developing glaucoma and all that kind of stuff because it started affecting other areas of our life, and it's due because we're undisciplined in our eating. In our exercising, right? Like yesterday, my kneecap hurt from climbing up the stairs, and then when I came down, when it was time to leave, I didn't go back down the stairs. Y'all know that little thing, that little walkway that go around? I took that.
That's smart though.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I was exercising more and doing more to help myself, walking up the stairs wouldn't be no problem. Walking up the stairs, and then when I get to the top, I'm out of breath.
Yeah.
Huh? So that tells me that I'm undisciplined. That made me get up. Pray God. Let me discipline myself. Titus 2 and 12 go with this discipline, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It takes discipline for that. It takes discipline for that. Because sometimes we just don't feel like it. And you have to have enough discipline to say, yes, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? It's tough sometimes. I'm not going to eat that. And I'm just going to eat one portion. I'm going to cut down. I'm going to go for a walk every day. I'm going to exercise. And that would alleviate some of the aches and the pains and the things that we go through in health-wise. I'm just helping somebody. Because I'm speaking to myself. Because you don't have to be 68 and be like this. Right, Sister Brenda? And Sister Brenda is not like that. But you got some people that younger than her, and they bent over. They can't hardly walk. They need a cane. They in bad health due to choices that they made throughout their life. My granddaddy, he lived to be 79 years old. And his arteries from all that stuff he was eating, his arteries was all clogged up. They go in there, put a stent, clean out his arteries. And he got to a point, he said, you know what? I put myself in this bitch. I lived my life. I ate what I want. I did what I want to do. He said, don't try to keep me here. I don't want no stents. I don't want my arteries to be cleared out no more. He was tired of being in the hospital back in. Oh, they put him a new stent in. Now it's hard. Now the blood can go to his heart. He said, I'm already, my granddaddy, even though he was a gangster, he found out later on that he knew the word. He made peace with God. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards.
Go ahead, Uncle.
Right?
Yes.
And when he got ready to go, he was ready.
Yes.
But he said, don't clean me out no more. And we did.
Let me go.
And at 79 years old, he went on to be with the Lord. Pray God. But he wasn't disciplined in his lifestyle, the way he lived his life. He lived a rough life. Right? Me and my granddaddy was incarcerated at the same time. He's in prison over here, and I was in prison over here, and we wrote each other. My granddad.
That's good. I wrote each other.
You hear me?
Yes.
But he found out.
Yes.
He always knew, but he said, let me discipline myself to get myself back together before I leave this place. Number four is endurance. Matthew 24:13. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Right? Number five is faith. I told you I would give you five things. Number one was prayer. Number two was meditation. Number three was discipline. Number four was endurance. And number five is faith. And I'm going to use Hebrews 1 and 6. 11, 1 and 6. Or we get ready to get out of here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember, people, God, walking in divine destiny is twofold. The destiny has been planned by God. The walking is you being obedient to the direction of God. Let me put this up. I'm going to say that again. Can I say that again? Walking in your divine destiny is twofold. Right? The destiny part has been planned by God. The walking part is you being obedient to the direction of the plans that God has for you. Let me say it one more time. Walking in your divine destiny is twofold. The destiny has been planned by God. The walking is you being obedient to the direction of God. How do I know that? I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and learn and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, just like Jeremiah, he says that I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Right? Our grandkids that's in here today, they don't know what they're going to be, but God already planned out what they're going to be. But what the enemy does is he tried to block you from walking in your divine destiny, the plans that he already had. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And the enemy comes to block us from walking in our divine destiny. Here it is, God said, I already planned it out for you. He said, I know what's good for you. He said, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. I want to give you an expected end. I want to give you in the future. A plan of good and not of evil.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what he said about Jeremiah. You think he just put that, he just used Jeremiah as an example. Jeremiah, even though he was a prophet, here he was. This man was preaching the word, unpopular to the people for 50 years, and then never nobody even listened to him. For 50 years. You think that's why he almost gave up. And the Bible says that when he almost gave up, the Bible says that it was like a fire. It's working in it. It was like a fire that was shut up in his bones. He couldn't stop. Even when he wanted to stop. He said it was like a fire shut up in my bones. He said, man, I can't stop. Huh? Jonah tried to stop. He tried to go a different way. But God said, I already planned before you was in your mouth. Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. He said, I already have a plan for you, Nineveh. I don't care. He said, you going to go tell them people in Nineveh that they what I said. And when he did what God said, because he had already planned it for him, because Jonah had a bad attitude concerning me. He didn't like them people.
He said,
man, I'm not going to go say nothing to them hard-headed folks. These wicked people. He said, but I already had a plan for you out of your mother's womb that you was going to be the one that was going to go and say something to them people, and they're going to listen to you, and them people going to get saved. And the Bible says when he went and spoke what God said to him, he said, all them people got saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he did.
See, God has a plan for you, and we could tell people in our family, you could tell your kids, and I could come and tell it to them, and they'll change, they'll listen to me, but it'd be the same word. But it wasn't in the plan for you to do it was in the plan for me to do it. So God has appointed people specifically in the plan that you're going to be able to minister to, and they're going to change their lives because you said it.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me now?
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's how God do it. So it's twofold. He already got the plan. He already wrote it up. And though it be delayed, it's not denied. Oh, man, I done got old. It's just like Sister Brenda. She turned 68, but it ain't too late. She was on the wake-up list this morning.
Amen.
God got a plan for her.
Amen.
But we have to learn how not to do our own thing. Quit leaning to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. Pray to God. Meditate on God. You see what I'm saying? These things that I gave you before we came to this conclusion. Let God will that thing in you. God, I was going to go this way, but it was something that was working in me, God. That I went the way that you wanted me to go, God. I didn't go my own way, God, because I want to walk in my divine destiny. Amen? I hope this word was a blessing to you. God bless you on your journey walking in your divine destiny. Amen? Praise God. We thank God for the opportunity. And